Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Welcome to the broadcast this week. I'm going to be sharing something this week, as a matter of fact, all of this month. And like everything, you know, I'm always wanting to give you something that's going to be beneficial. Something's going to build you up. Something's going to strengthen you. Something's going to help you make the journey. Something's going to help you stay on track. Something's going to make you feel better about you and God and stay in love with God. This month, I'm going to share something. I'm almost afraid to tell you what it is because you're going to think that you know what I'm talking about. But I tell you, all this month, we're going to be talking about living by faith. And immediately, man, if you've had bad experiences in the faith movement, if you've had bad experiences in the past, immediately you could go to someplace negative and you could go into some overreaction. And I don't want you to do something like that because I'm telling you, when we connect with faith from a biblical perspective, it makes life so incredibly easy. And this week, we're going to be talking about living by faith. What does it really mean? Hey, I'm Jim Richards. I want to invite you to World Changer Weekend, July 17th to the 19th. There's no registration fee, but you do have to register because space is limited. This is where our world changers get together and celebrate Jesus and change the way the world sees God. And we're going to be talking about what it really means to live by faith. And, you know, please don't assume you know what I'm going to talk about. And please don't assume that I'm going to be talking about anything that you've ever experienced in the past. You know, sadly, all of us maybe or a lot of us came up through the faith movement or had experience with the faith movement. And here's the thing about movements that you have to understand. Movements always end up taking things to extremes. Now, let me explain what I mean by this. Movements tend to start out by men or women who have inspired revelation. The Holy Spirit is speaking to them. Man, they're alive to God. And they're hearing something that's incredible and powerful. And they make it a way of life. And out of that way of life, they begin to model it and share it and teach it to others. Well, sadly, what happens is the majority of people hear them teach and they don't make it a way of life. They just get a message, and this message, you know, is great for going out and preaching to people who got itching ears, people who just want to hear something new. It makes you look like you got something new. So they run out and preach their new revelation, but when in truth, they haven't really walked it out. And so the second and third generations of people who are involved in a movement really start missing the point. And one of the main reasons I missed the point is because of the tendency to focus in on just one aspect of a particular message. And, you know, the faith message got such a bum rap because of the extremes and the goofiness and the legalism that was woven into the faith message that really Brother Hagin and some of the early pioneers, they never put that stuff in there. They didn't believe that stuff. As a matter of fact, one of the saddest times in Brother Hagin's life, according to some of the people that were close to him, was when he realized how people were running off the rails with the faith message, but he also realized that they would not listen to him when he tried to bring them back into the bounds of what he was really talking about. You know something? As somebody who has pioneered a movement, I know exactly what he's talking about because I look around today and I look at how people have gone off the rails with the message of grace. And I'm thinking, man, if I'd known people were going to get this stupid with this, I don't know if I'd ever preached it. And I don't know if I'd ever brought it to America and to the world the way that I did back in the 80s and the 90s. But anyhow, we're here. And it doesn't have to be that way. And here's the key thing. You know, there's an old Southern saying. If you're not a Southerner, you probably don't know this. This is what we say in the South. Don't throw the baby out with the washwater. And sadly, that's what we do. Once people start corrupting a message and taking it to some kind of extreme, then we get so disgusted with it, we get so frustrated with it that we throw it all out. And doctrinally, we just bounce over to a reactionary extreme in another direction. So realize this, movements tend to focus on one point to the exclusion of all other points, which means it stops being functional. You know, just think about it. The Pentecostals made the baptism of the Holy Spirit all about speaking in tongues. They never really made it about grace, which it is, because the word gift and gifts of the Holy Spirit is the word charis. It comes from the same word as grace. And so all the Pentecostals were interested in was just speaking in tongues. And all the charismatics were interested in was moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we really missed the point that the very reason that God wanted us to get baptized in the Holy Spirit was so that we could be a witness to the whole world, so we could take the message of the gospel of the kingdom. You know, there was a shepherding movement back in the 70s and 80s. They made everything about submission, discipleship, and authority, and to the exclusion of almost everything else. And then, of course, like I said, the faith movement reduced the entire concept of faith to just using your faith to get things from God. And now the grace movement has done the same thing. They've tried to make everything in the Bible about grace. Now listen, movements always go off track. But just because people take something in the Bible off track doesn't mean that we're going to follow them into those extremes. And it doesn't mean we're going to throw it away. Because here's what really happens. There is always a tendency among religionists. And, you know, religionists aren't always pharisaical legalists. There's mystical religionists. There's all kinds of religionists. And a religionist, more than anything else, is a person who causes us, by the way they present a message, to connect more to their message than with God himself. See, religion always becomes a substitute for a living, dynamic relationship with God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so movements always end in some form of control and legalism. And, you know, you say, well, that can never happen with a grace movement. Oh, it's already happening because the formula is grace, and then everybody's correcting you and calling you a legalist if you disagree with them. And it's the same way in Pentecost, the same way in the charismatic move, same way in the word of faith move. If you don't say it right, pray it right, do the right formula, which means we've replaced intimacy. We've really replaced trusting God with trusting a formula. Listen, that's the negatives. I want to stay on the negatives because, man, there's too much good stuff about this that we're going to look at. Listen, the Bible says in the book of Romans, 1st chapter, the 16th and 17th verse, it says, Paul says this, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Let me tell you two powerful things right here. First of all, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. But that word salvation isn't just the word born again. The gospel of Christ, the good news about what Jesus did, is about power of God unto getting born again, getting healed, delivered, blessed, prospered, protected, made whole, set apart, sanctified, anointed, called, chosen. In other words, the word salvation is not just about being born again. The word salvation is about everything that we have in Jesus. Everything that comes in this package that we call salvation, it becomes ours. And I'm telling you, it is all supposed to be presented in the good news about what Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection. But there's something else that's important that we get right here, that this is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. This is not the power of God unto salvation for people who don't believe. And I know there's a strong movement of universalism right now. There's a strong movement of Trinitarianism and of ultimate reconciliation and of all of these movements that basically just get down to the fact that since Jesus died for everybody, everybody's saved and they just don't know it yet. That's absolutely not scriptural. I want you to know the power of God is always in the gospel unto everything that Jesus accomplished for everyone who believes. In verse 17, it goes in and says this, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. I want to tell you something. This is so incredible. I mean, this is some of the best news that you could ever imagine. You know, from first to last, everything that God has to reveal to us about righteousness, and that word righteousness is, it's not just moral perfection. It's about being as we should be based on the fact that we are in Jesus. Everything about being as we should be, everything about living in this salvation, everything about living in being saved, healed, delivered, blessed, prospered, protected, made whole, suffered, every bit of this is revealed from first to last by faith. It is from faith to faith. I will tell you something. That is so incredibly powerful. Now, don't twist faith into what you have heard in the past. I'll tell you what. just through these messages in this broadcast, I'm going to do everything I can to get it where you understand how simple it is to live and to walk in faith. But also in the special series that we're going to be offering to you, it's going to take you into dimensions of a simple, basic faith that's just going to be easier than you ever imagined that faith could be or ever imagined that faith should be. Faith is not hard. It's not difficult. It's not legalistic. It's not what you do to get God to respond to you. Faith, as you're going to discover, there's faith that is used as a verb, and we call that believe. Then there's faith that's used more like a noun, and that describes a state of being. And I want you to know the difference between the verb and the being, the action and the being. And I want you to know how to function in both of those realms so that you're abiding in faith, and that's a state of being for you, but also so that you know how to move in faith. When you're in a situation where you need to connect to something that Jesus has promised you, remember, every aspect of life being as it should be. If you're sick, you should be healed. If you're broke, you should be prospered and blessed. You know, if you're sad, you should have joy. If you're troubled, you should have peace. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is more than moral perfection. And I want to show you how from first to last is always about faith. I'll be right back with some more of this. I know you're like me. You want to have a faith that works. You know, you don't want to be goofy. You don't want to be extreme. You don't want to be legalistic. You just want to trust God in every situation. Faith, the missing pieces, is a 6-CD set that really does just what it says. It gives you the missing pieces about how to live and how to walk in faith. From this, I'm telling you, you're going to learn the basics of how to establish your heart in faith, how to solve your doubt problems, how to always move to the place of faith. This is going to be a life changer for you. Man, I don't know about you, but I am just having a moment of personal revival here. When you get free from the religious definition and concepts of righteousness, and that's a hard concept to work around because, you know, righteousness does play out into living a godly life. Righteousness does play out in having moral character, but that's not the totality of righteousness. And we're not talking about works righteousness. We're not talking about laboring and doing those things to please God. But we're talking about a righteousness that comes from God that basically means this is how I intended for you to be. This is how I created you to be. See, we left the state of righteousness when sin was brought into the world. And man, because he began to judge good and evil for himself, and instead of following God's word and following what God said would make you healthy, man started saying, this is what will make me healthy. Instead of following what God said would make you happy, we started following what we said would make us happy. Instead of following what God said would keep you in love and having a great marriage, we started doing what we thought would keep us in love. And that we have determined our own righteousness. We have righteousness. We have determined our own definition of how life should be and how life should work. And therefore, we have rejected the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God says, listen, if you're sick, I want you well. Righteousness of God says, if you're sad, I want you filled with joy. Righteousness of God says, if you're troubled, I want you to have peace. Because all of that is yours in Christ. It's already yours. It already belongs to you. Faith is not where you get God to give these things to you. Faith is where the righteousness of God, as you should be, is revealed in you and in your life, and the power for that to work in your life. And the Bible tells us that it's revealed from faith to faith. In other words, from beginning to end and every step in between, it's always by faith. And then it goes on to say, the just, and that word just is the same root word as righteousness. I'm not sure why. I don't know if the translators deliberately mistranslated this, and that does happen many times, or I really don't know. But the righteous live by faith. So there's some things that we need to extrapolate from this verse. First of all, we need to realize that if it's faith from first to last, then we have to realize when we leave faith, we have left the gospel and we have left God's righteousness. You know, we're living in a day when people are attacking faith. Now, I understand with the extremes of the faith message, and I understand with the legalism that people wove into the faith message, I understand why people are afraid of and reactionary. Boy, when you just hear somebody start talking about faith, because in your mind, that's going back to a place where you're trying to believe hard enough to get God to do something. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what the Bible is talking about. That's what you're reacting to, and that's where your emotions are coming from. But listen, you got to put those emotions away. You got to send those away and say, you know what? This is not what God was talking about. I'm going to go to the Bible and I'm going to find out what God is talking about when He talks about faith. That's why people reject the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because people came up with unscriptural concepts about it. That's why people reject the grace message. It's because there's so many unscriptural concepts and people just reject these things altogether instead of saying, no, I'm not going to throw out the baby with the washwater. I'm going to reject this foolishness and this nonsense and this extremism. But I'm coming back to what the Bible says, because the Bible is God's Word. So when we leave faith, not only left the gospel, but when we leave faith, we have left righteousness. And this is really, really important. Righteousness is something that Jesus obtained with His faith. It is something that I share in with my faith. And again, there is a message out there that says, since Jesus used His faith to get righteousness, we don't need to. Let me tell you something. In other words, you're saying that this is not faith from beginning to end. You're saying that there's no place. All the scriptures that talk about righteousness, yes, there are scriptures that talk about the righteousness coming by the faith of Jesus, but the majority of scriptures about righteousness talk about the fact that we participate in righteousness because we believe. So the mark of being righteous is that you're living by faith. The just shall live by faith. But the question is, what does that really look like? If faith is not me trying to get miracles, if faith is not me trying to pray something up, if faith is not me trying to move God, then what is it? Well, that's the problem. You know, we've had that hammered into us. We've had it hammered over and over and over into us that's what faith is. And you know something? Man, this is where you got to send this stuff away. You know, when I have a wrong definition of something, I make sure that every time I read my Bible or every time I hear somebody even say the words, in my mind, I immediately say, listen, 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 so that I won't turn them off or I won't turn God off from the assumption that I know what's going to be said or based on, you know, reaction to something from the past. Our life, if we live by faith, our life should be an active state of faith. It should be a dynamic state of living in faith. Faith should be something that's functioning all the time. Now, one of the problems that we've had with faith, again, like so many biblical concepts, we've come up with definitions that are not biblical. So I want you to say this out loud with me. I'm going to say the whole sentence. Faith is not what I do to get God to respond to me. I want you to say that with me. Faith is not, I'm going to say it. Faith is not what I do to get God to respond to me. That is so important. See, that's works. That's dead works. And there's a difference between good works and dead works. We are called unto good works. We're set apart unto good works. We're empowered unto good works. We have grace to do good works. But dead works are those religious things that we do, the formulas that we work, the things that we put our trust in other than God Himself and the finished work of Jesus. That's dead works. So listen, I'm not trying to get God to respond to me. What I'm doing is responding to God. Now, faith for most of us is something that happens in our mind more than it happens in our heart. In our mind, we intellectually take the word of God or what we hear some preacher say, and we make a determination if we agree with that based on our intellectual understanding of the facts. So we're looking to see first if what we're reading in the Bible, does that agree with my opinion? So really, we're playing God. We're exercising that option to choose good and evil for ourselves. And we're saying, God, I'm going to take what you say and I'm going to see if it makes sense to me. And I got news for you. When you do that, you are basically doing exactly what the children of Israel did who died in the wilderness because they tested God. They put God on trial and found Him guilty of not being truthful, guilty of not being faithful, guilty of not being dependable. So faith that in the mind, which is nothing but intellectualism, it requires an agreement of the facts. But then, because it's all mental, it requires intentional effort. So this means that if I'm not trying to be in faith, then faith is not going to happen. So we wore ourselves out, or many people did. I didn't, thank God. I never got into the legalistic aspects of it. I got into some extremes of it, but I never became a legalist. But many people wore themselves out trying to remember to work faith, trying to always intentionally make sure, you know, that I'm in faith. And I tell you, that kind of stuff just drives you absolutely crazy. Anything that you're trying to do as a way of life that is intellectual rather than heartfelt or rather than a heart belief is going to wear you out, because you're going to have to constantly watch yourself and make sure you're doing the right thing. And man, I'll tell you what, there is no room for that. But biblical faith works from the heart. So in biblical faith, you want to create a belief. Now, when you believe something in your heart, this is very important to understand that. A belief of the heart is always going to, as I've told you hundreds of times, if not thousands of times, it's always going to affect, first and foremost, your sense of self. You're going to have a shift in the way you experience yourself or see yourself in that situation. A belief in the heart is always going to alter how you see yourself, because it's going to alter how you see and experience God. When you believe something in your heart, it becomes automatic and it becomes effortless. In other words, you are not walking around trying to make it happen. Once it is a true belief of the heart, it is going to be there and it's going to abide. But here's one of the interesting things. It's not going to abide just in information. And see, we think that when we get a belief right, it's, you know, that means we're going to get all the information right. I want to tell you something. When you believe something in your heart, it is first and foremost a feeling. Now, feelings and emotions are not the same things. Emotions come and go real quickly because of what's going on in your mind. But feelings abide. You see, if you feel a certain way, then you're going to automatically make decisions. You're going to automatically govern what you say. You're going to govern every part of your life based on these strong feelings that tend to move you intuitively in the direction of those feelings. But when you believe something in your heart, that's what happens. I'll tell you what, you leave this realm. You leave this place of just trying to remember to do all the right things. So we still haven't truly defined faith, but I want you to come back. In just a few minutes, I'm going to be sharing a mentoring moment, because in our mentoring moment, this is where we always find a way to put this stuff into practice. This is where we find a way to say, this is how you can make this happen. You know, I was with somebody the other day. They were asking me, they said, Jim, I just can't imagine how you figured this stuff out. And we were talking about something, some experiments that I was doing. And I said, well, here's the deal. I'm not smarter than anybody else. I said, but I'm the mad scientist when it comes to finding out what this stuff looks like in real life. You know, if I find something in the Word of God, or even find something that has to do with health or whatever, I am going to experiment. I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to see if it works in real life, because nothing benefits us, it doesn't help us, and it doesn't really hurt us until we put it in practice. This month, I've got a special free gift for you. It's called Abraham, the Father of Failure, and it shows you how men with the same struggles and same battles that you have overcame, and God still used them mightily. It's free for everybody. Go to www.impactministries.com. You know, you may not know it, but Impact International School of Ministry was a residential accredited Bible college for 27 years right here in Huntsville, Alabama. And we have raised up men and women who have been incredibly successful and effective in ministry and who have gone all over the world. We have raised up people who have been incredibly successful in business, because you know what? It takes the same principles to succeed at ministry as it does at business and as it does at life and as it does in a marriage. What we have found is our school of ministry equips people for every aspect of life, not just the ministry. Well, you know what? Our school is designed primarily for people who are already in the ministry, who understand what's important, who know what questions to ask. So I want to tell you something. You may already have your degree. As a matter of fact, most of the people that went through our school already had degrees that had already been in the ministry. But they said, you know what? I want to find out how to be more effective in my community. I want to find out how to build healthy believers. Check us out online, Impact International School of Ministry. You can do it all right from your office. You know, we started out talking about the fact that the just or the righteous live by faith. And really, the mark of righteousness isn't that you always get it right. It's not that you do everything right, but that you're living by faith. But what does that really mean? What does it mean to live by faith? Am I walking around always trying to believe God for something? No, not at all. We talked about how that's just a mental exercise there that has nothing to do with real faith. Now, that has to do with renewing your mind. It's important to renew your mind. But real faith is a thing of the heart. It's about the beliefs of the heart, where you believe something to such an extent that it alters the way you feel, it alters your sense of self, it makes it become automatic and effortless. Listen, the word faith is a really simple, basic word, and I've defined it so many times as simply trust, and that really is pretty much what it means. But on the larger concept of what faith really is, faith is not believing that God will do something. Faith is not trying to believe hard enough to get God to do something. Faith is when we are immovably confident in the character and the motive of God. You see, we struggle with individual things of believing. In other words, believing for a miracle, believing to get healed. We struggle with those individual things because we haven't really 100% settled the issue of God's character and God's motive for everything He does. Well, God's character is, first of all, He's honest. He's faithful, He's dependable, and He's all-powerful, but His motive is always love. That's why the Bible says faith works by love, because until we're immovable about the love of God, then we're never going to be immovable in our trust for God. If we think there's any exception to God moving and being motivated by love, then we'll always think that we are the exception. Now, when this becomes our heart belief, and you know something, to write something on your heart, you need to learn how to influence your heart. Heart physics is the greatest tool I have for learning to influence your heart, to establish your heart, bring yourself to an abiding sense of Christ in you and experiencing His love. When that is the way you always feel, you are not open to any condemnation. You're not open to any accusations against God. You're not open to any accusations against yourself. You're just always going to trust God.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts and our videos. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.